this week is going to be terrific kind of thing. I mean, people understandably are skeptical, right, about things like astrology. Once you're bringing that, the lifeline techniques, most people can buy and accept.
Mm-hmm.
But the astrology bit, do you get people going, come on?
Well, I'd have to say, no, I don't. And do you know what it is? Well, for starters, astrology is a science, and it's been around for forever. So it is a science.
But
and remember,
I come from
a science background. So the astrology that you read in the local paper or magazine...
is entertainment.
Is really entertainment. It might be based on some issues, but it's so broad that the chances... And there's so much... It is... I study it now. I've been studying it for 3 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that are still studying it after 20 years. It's so complex and so amazing, and so many aspects to it.
It's unique. I mean, a lot of people
will
say...
But it's a blueprint
of
your life.
A lot of people will say, I was born on the 1st of January.
Yeah.
And there, how many other billion people born on the 1st of January? But in fact, you look at it a bit more specifically in the sense... Where were you born? What time were you born, etc., right?
Yes, all of those things come into play. So even if there are so many more aspects to it. So if someone were born at exactly the same
time,
place, and every as someone else. So if you've got local hospital and there's two babies born side by side in exactly the same place, we might say, well, they would have exactly the same astrology,
mm-hmm.
but we've got to remember that into that you throw hereditary stuff, genetic stuff, environmental stuff, everything. So it's not going to play out the same. We have free will. And there's been enough documentaries and books and everything written about, like identical twins.
Yes.
They're all still very individual. They're not exactly the same. So, there'll be similarities.
Mm-hmm.
There will be similarities, but these things play out because we are all unique
individuals.
Beings. Yeah.
Okay, so let's take it back to where we were before.
Yeah.
We digressed.
Yeah.
In a sense that... So you have astrology and you have also numerology involved in it. Now, you're going to tell me that's an exact science as well?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Elaborate.
Numerology is, again, it's based on the time. Numerology doesn't take in your time of birth.
Mm-hmm.
That takes in just your date of birth. So you have your date of birth, and we can also... do calculations around your name, and each letter of your name, it has a number attached to it, and then we can calculate based on your name other aspects of your chart, of your numerological chart. So with my birth date, the numbers of the date of my birth add up to a 7. And we know...
Lucky 7.
Yes, well, it is for me because that's me, that's my number. So my life lesson is, well, that's what we call it, my life lesson is a 7. And a 7 is all about, it's spiritually based, but it's all about knowledge, imparting knowledge. I have an absolute thirst for knowledge. And the way behind me, I have a wall of books.
Mm,
and indeed. I love to study, so that's part of that. My second number, which is as a result of my name and the letters adding up to that, is what's called my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
My destiny is a 5. So the numbers of the letters of my name, excuse me a moment, the numbers of the letters of my name add up to a 5. 5 is all about freedom and progress.
Oh.
And then there's other numbers there, which I won't go into here.
Yep.
If anyone, you can go onto the internet and find out more about it. But my heart's desire adds up to an 8, which is, an 8 is about power, big business, groups of people. So if you look at where I've come from is, or if you interpret these numbers, it means that I bring freedom and progress to many people through the knowledge that I have to impart.
Oh, so do you say that to your clients if they say, you know, so what do you think? I don't even have an idea what I should be doing next.
Mm.
I just know I don't like what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So do you bring that into the interpret it for them?
Yes, I do. So if someone, say, has a one,
mm-hmm.
a one is all about leadership, pioneering, new beginnings. So just as a one is the first number. Yeah. So, for instance, I say my son has been born, the numbers of his birth date add up to a one. Now, my son's 25 years old and he's not what you'd call a leader. Great guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, really lovely, lovely person. But see, for him, there's a lot of underlying limiting beliefs that stop him from stepping up to the leadership role that he is there in this lifetime to take.
Okay, and so do you think at some point in time he will be placed in a situation where he has to realize, acknowledge?
Yes. And until he can do that, he is unfulfilled in his job.
So he's playing small in a sense.
Yes, and he knows he is and he feels unfulfilled as a result of that.
So people, can you relate to that? If you're feeling unfulfilled and you feel as though you're, you know, whatever you're doing is cramping your style, and that leads to a sense of innate like frustration, isn't it, not being able to express yourself fully, like you say, a lot of people will then medicate and dumb down. So rather than go down that rather, you know, unproductive path, they're better off seeking the advice of somebody like you at transformationalliving.com.au, and to be able to get some sense of where they are. Now, I'm going to ask you the next question because time's moving on. And this is important because my show is called Your Money and Your Mindset. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe when we think or when we sort of adopt an attitude of, you know, we have limitless potential.
Mm-hmm.
We can achieve a lot of things that we didn't think we were capable of. And a lot of it is based around, like you say, the self-limiting beliefs or beliefs that other people foisted on us without our permission.
Yeah.
But somehow we tended to incorporate that and absorb that on a subconscious level into our lives. So specifically, how do you help somebody who realizes that maybe at some level I am playing small because of whatever programming that I got as a kid, but I can't really put my finger on it just yet to uncover it? How can you help them overcome that if they want to grow their wealth, get into a business that is going to generate a lot of income or start a new business or a new venture? Yeah. You know? But they just know that they feel very constrained, but they don't know what and they don't know how to get out of it.
Okay, a couple of things here. Certainly we can go down using Lifeline technique to actually uncover beliefs that people have about money.
Mm-hmm.
And then harmonize. So for instance, what we can do with Lifeline technique is we might have a statement saying, money comes to me with grace and ease.
So they're supposed to say that, money comes to me with grace and ease. You people out there, do you want to do it right now? Just say it. Money comes to me with grace and ease. Okay.
So what happens is then a muscle test, and the muscle testing shows it goes weak. And it says, no, money doesn't come to me with grace and ease. So what happens then is I'll take you through a process where we identify all of these beliefs. Well, it would be an ongoing process because beliefs around money are huge. It just goes on and on and on. So what happens is that gradually with clients, each time, if someone is really focused or wants to focus on money, we will work in increasingly in around clearing the beliefs. So part of what Part of what happens is that of the process is we set an intention.
Mm-hmm.
And so setting, so just what happens is our subconscious minds that drive us. We think it's our conscious minds, but our subconscious minds is what drives us. So, and it's covered, it has all these limiting beliefs sitting there that stop us from connecting to being wealthy or to being the best people that we can be or doing what we want to do. So it's really, really tough to actually, I don't know whether people, whether the people listening to this have ever heard, it's really hard to, you know, we have these neural pathways, these neural highways and freeways. So what happens is that things automatically happen. So what happens is you react in certain ways in, say, in relation to money. We're talking about money. And you can't stop yourself from reacting that way.
Because, like you say, the neural pathways, there's a thing called neuroplasticity. All right, I'm just going to go sciencey for a minute. But it's actually like channels and grooves that if you keep thinking and reinforcing that with action, eventually the nerve fibers actually become a thicker and thicker bundle, literally.
Yeah.
You know, that is a fact. And the thing is that we then, like you say, behave in a way that is subconsciously we will do the same actions, and that really can be translated into self-sabotaging sometimes. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah.
So we need to change that. Mm. And the good news is that we can. It's not set in stone, right?
It's not. And the way we do that, it's actually really tough to break down old neural pathways.
But it can be done.
But, no, the way you do it is by setting an intention. You choose how you want to feel and be. You get to choose. You consciously choose. So what I have my clients do is to choose how they want to be. So, and that is done in the now. So it might be, I am healthy, wealthy and wise.
All right, but and somebody so can turn around and then, say, no, they're just words, you know. I mean, how do you make it stick?
Well, that's what we do, is we start to clear the limiting beliefs that are sitting underneath that belief that say, I am wealthy. So there'll be lots and lots of it. What do you mean you're wealthy? Who do you think you are? You're just a nothing.
Yeah, the voice.
You don't deserve to have money. You're not worthy of having money.
All right.
Money only grows on trees. People who want money are bad. People, money is the root of all evil.
Mm.
The beliefs around money, and so what we have to do is gradually start to work to clear these. So then we go through what I said was this seeing, feeling, hearing process. So you get to say, oh my God, you know, I thought I was okay. You know, I thought I liked money. But guess what? I've got these beliefs underlying here that say to me, who do you think you are? You don't deserve to have any money.
Or people won't like me.
I'll lose all my friends.
That's a good one, that one.
Yeah. People will reject me. They're so, the beliefs go on and on. So what happens is we work through, going through a lifeline process about what's happening. Now I'm going to bring in the aspect as well of astrology here as well, because what happens is that some of us are more destined to be more comfortable with money than others.
Do you believe that destiny then? I mean,
well, the blueprint that's there. So there are some people here that, you know, why is it there are some people? Why are there some people like Rupert Murdoch?
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Branson, who just seem to just make money easily. Or you look, for people who make a lot of money, there is a saying around that money is just a game.
Mm.
It's a game to them.
It's a way to keep score, yes.
Yeah, yeah, it's just easy.
It's not about the money,
Yeah. So they can do that easily. So what is about these people that are able to do this compared to people that can't do it?
Who struggle
non-stop.
So the struggling is related, you know, just going back to what you said originally, it's that the struggling is based on I don't deserve it. So my take on it is that once you overcome the I don't deserve it, theoretically you should be able to make as much money as Rupert Murdoch or Richard Branson.
Yes. If if you are, or if it's there for you to do this. How do I say this? Some people are here, and we're here, you know, we're eternal beings.
Yes.
And we're here in this lifetime here to be able to achieve certain things. So for some people, their focus in this lifetime might be about relationships. It might not be about, you know, managing corporations.
So it's richness of their relationships, yeah. The wealth is in their yeah. relationships.
The wealth is in the relationships or in their creativity or in their ability to help humanity. I don't know anyone that makes, you know, pots of money working for a humanitarian organisation, but there are lots of people out there doing it who are incredibly fulfilled in their... The wealth that they have in their lives, not monetary wealth, but that wealth of feeling fulfilled. I, you know, like one of the things I've been I'm becoming more aware of lately is I have some clients come in and say, I'm successful. Mm-hmm. Now, and the thing is, successful is very much a good or bad thing. I'm not successful, I am successful.
Or their interpretation of what success is.
Yeah, of what success is. Mm-hmm. But if we can actually switch from using the word success to using the word fulfilled in what it is that you're doing. Now, that fulfillment in what you're doing is what causes happiness. There's some sayings around, like a beauty that's used is when... Your vocation should be your vacation.
So every day is like a holiday.
Yeah. If you're doing, see, people have always thought that you don't have to enjoy a job. A job's a job. But in fact, if you are in the correct vocation for you and working through your life's purpose, then... You should be, I hate the word should, then you are enjoying and feeling fulfilled in what you're doing and loving it. And if you hate the work that you do, I can guarantee you are in the wrong work. Because the people that are doing, and I can say this with you, Lorwai, you've changed your career.
Oh, markedly, yes.
Yeah, markedly, yeah. And your listeners would be aware of that. So are you loving what you do now?
Let's say I couldn't go back to doing what I was doing.
No.
That would be hell.
Yeah, exactly. So here you are. So doing what you're doing here, are you feeling exhausted and de-energized and feeling like you've got to go on holidays?
No, I mean, like... for people who know, I used to have to be up by 5:30 in the morning to get to work by 7 and not leave until about 6. So I never saw sunlight over the winter months, and it was really, it just ground me down. And waking up at 8 o'clock or 7:30 these mornings, it's fantastic. It's almost like I've got my life back.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think this is the thing that a lot of people say, that you can only do it for the money for so long. I can say that because I was there. And eventually it will wear you down and you will have to make a choice. And rather you make the choice and have the choices made for you, which includes becoming physically ill. And you really don't want to get to that stage where, you know, your body is saying to you, enough.
Yeah.
You need to do something else.
Exactly. And it's your body that will normally tell you first. I'm very grateful that, as I said, I was going to finish with before, earlier in this interview, that when I left work, I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety. Well, I was just pretty lucky that it wasn't cancer. Because that could have been...
The next step.
The next step for me.
So... For people out there who want to get to know you a lot better, they can get to you at Suzanne, Suzanne, at transformationalliving.com.au. If anything, just to have a quick chat with you to see whether this is, you know, something that can help them with their path. Can you sort of offer something like a complimentary 15-minute session with them so that they can actually get a sense of who you are and whether it would be a good fit to work with them?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I can guarantee...
This lady's good, by the way. I can tell you that.
I can... yes, and we do 15-minute sessions, especially when we do sort of various... demonstrations for groups or whatever. So, and even after 15 minutes, I can guarantee that you'll notice something different.
A shift. Don't try and explain it, by the way. It's just a shift. And also it's a sense of clarity and more conviction about, you know, what would be the path for you to take. And it'll probably reinforce what, at a subconscious level, you already know that whatever you're doing right now, it's not helping you get to where you want to go. Okay, I hear you, people out there, when you say, I need to pay my bills and so forth. So what is it that you do that can help them, in a sense, clear the path that when they take that initial step of faith or leap of faith, other things come into play that support them financially?
Well, we can... Essentially, it's a process of clearing the limiting beliefs.
So that space for more money to come in?
Yeah. Because if you've got limiting beliefs that say that you don't deserve or not worthy of having money, it doesn't matter what you do, somehow, you know, the money won't be there, or you'll get it and it'll disappear, or whatever the patterning is for you, there will be a pattern there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's necessary to clear that belief to allow you to move forward. It might be to clear beliefs to allow you to have the courage to change your vocation, to change your career, to step into something different. And that's where, say, an astrology report can come in, or a numerological reading, so that you sort of, because I can, every single client I've ever done an astrology report with, a vocation report or a numerological reading, have all said, like, it's, oh my God, this is so me. And so even if you don't deeply believe in this sort of work, it's a basis, it's something, it's a report or something that you can actually use to look at how you might do things differently.
Yeah.
So given that at the moment most of you have nothing, so you might have been to see the vocational counsellor who says, based on this and this. But the thing is, with these sorts of reports, they are all based on your input. And your input may be off track. Your input into this might be wishful thinking or something. Oh, yeah, I'd like to do that.
Mm.
So what's happening is it may not actually be connecting with what you truly want to do. And so what these reports can actually then allow or give you some basis, some structure to work from, something that can allow you to see, I hadn't thought of that. Like a client of mine at the moment, his teaching comes up everywhere in his vocation report.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because there's all sorts of different aspects come up, depending on where the sun and the moon and all these things are. But it's just his vocation report screams teaching. This guy has just taken a package. He's in his early 50s and he was thinking he's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to, like, travel around Australia and just, like, veg out and do whatever. Well, he's got all sorts. His marriage is falling apart. His life is falling apart because... He used to work for a government agency and he was sort of okay with that. He was working in training people within the government agency. So he was the teaching and he quite enjoyed doing that. But he took a package. Right. A redundancy came along, and so he took the package.
So he hasn't learned to monetize his innate talents and gifts, which are in alignment with what he is meant to be doing in this lifetime.
Yeah. And so the thing is, for him, it's so we have various houses, what's called houses with an astrology report, and your number two house is about your resources and about your money.
Mm-hmm.
Your number six house is about your work, just working. Mm-hmm. And your number 10 house is about career. Well, every one of those three houses is chock-a-block full of
teaching.
So if anyone is meant to be teaching, this man is meant to be teaching. So we just have to find, we have to clear the limiting blocks mm-hmm. that he's got, and then start to take him on a process. So rather than just sort of thinking, and so as soon as he thinks, oh, I can't do that, because he initially thought teaching meant children.
Going back to high school, teaching kids, And not it was necessarily, just, is it?
No, not at all. He has something there that he is meant to be teaching and communicating to a broader audience. And we are now going through a process with him to discover what that might be.
And in doing so, actually bringing the big bucks. Okay,
so that's
the way it works, folks. But the take-home message is we have to be proactive and take that first step. So, you know, Suzanne is here. So it's suzanne@transformationalliving.com.au if you want to get in touch with her. And I have to say, this has been a very revealing 1 hour, and in terms of the information you've provided and given, I trust people something to think about. And don't just think about it, folks. Do something about it. If you're not happy in your job, do something about it, okay? The ball's in your court, really. And I believe that too. You know, it's no point saying, staying where you are and whinging about it. Nothing's going to change. So you have to take action. So this lady here, Suzanne, is going to help you out. Right. That's all I can say. It works. So on behalf of your money and your mindset, Suzanne Campbell, I'd like to thank you very much for spending this hour with us.
God bless. Thank you, Lawai.
And everybody, have a good day, and we'll see you soon next week. Bye.
Today's podcast is